Okay, it is episode 19 of the Grindlish Podcast. Roll the intro.
I'm a Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
Okay, let's go through all of this week's bullshit. So I've been mortally wounded for the last 2 months. That's an exaggeration. I've been sick for the last 2 months. It's not been fun. All of Feb, sponsored by me. So, yeah, ever since the March across Greece, which, you know what? Let me show you something. Play that bit. ever since our March across Greece, you know, it's weird because, I'm happy I did it, but I think with very many difficult things in life, sometimes you have like a melancholic feeling towards, them. Like, for example, buying this apartment, I'm really happy I did it. I have less cash flow now than I previously did, which means, you know, staying put for a while, which is fine, and I'm happy I bought the apartment, but yeah, you know, I prefer to have a lot of cash. But then again, do I? So, I don't know. But yeah, this March across Greece thing, it just feels like sometimes whenever I achieve something, before I achieve it, it's this amazing thing. And then when I achieve it, it's like meh. And that's just, you know. Don't worry, the one with the correct date is being sent. It's just me creating clickbait. Now, the price I paid for, and I knew there would be like a pre and post price to pay for the March across Greece in terms of fitness, training, but then also like recovery. And my legs are pretty much back to where they should be, like health-wise. But I think my boy's immune system like took a massive, massive hit that I'm just now recovering from. Like all of Jan and Feb, my stomach was haywire, dude. It was not good, man. It was really bad. And then the first week, the last week or so of March, I've just had like bronchitis and shit. And I never really get sick, or at least I don't get sick at this frequency, like back to back. I assume the stress of buying an apartment, you know, also added to it, but what's done is done. Let's move on to our first topic. So let's take a look at what we got here. Okay, Gotha Medinina article. Greece, Cyprus, energy connection. So, Greek infrastructure projects. What can I say about Greek infrastructure projects that haven't already been said about, you know, crypto? Huge hype. It's going to be so exciting. And it never fucking happens. And a lot of people lose money, usually the taxpayer. So the infrastructure connection that we're talking about here is the energy link between Greece and Cyprus, right? Now, there were big talks that this connection between Greece, Cyprus, even Israel and Egypt, we're going to connect all three or four, at least Greece and Cyprus, and that was going to be that. Now, that'll come out, and again, I'm attacking mainstream media because they had all these articles, oh, it's happening, blah, blah, blah. Like, they are never very clear about what they're actually reporting on. Like, none of it ever was approved or went forward or ever got financing, right? So it's like, all this shit is just like, nothing ever happened. Why do you keep reporting shit that's always a proposal? You know what I'm saying? So obviously what they're saying here is that it's on ice. The Great Sea Interconnector to GSI, bad name. They're stopping it because they've halted in funding and because of significant disruption because of a Turkish naval vessel. Bro, just admit it's, you don't have the money, you know? So yeah, this there is a connection between Athens and Crete that's established. So really we're talking about between Crete down, and I'll show you a map, going down south between the Kastellorizo creates this like almost triangle shape to, of our sea, our exclusive economic zone that goes to Cyprus. So obviously this connection isn't there. So it is obviously not good. Cyprus runs on some of the dirtiest fuel energy methods in Europe. And so connecting Greece, which Greece is actually pretty good at renewables, that's kind of the long-term idea, and to sell these renewable energy sources to even Egypt and Israel, and vice versa. So that's kind of the shtick here. And obviously it's been put on ice, and like most infrastructure projects, it's not happening. Now if we look at this next infrastructure project proposal, the Green Aegean interconnector. Revival energy link between Germany and Greece. Once again, we have the mainstream media touting all of this cool infrastructure. Bro, don't bring me your proposal until you get the funding. It's just an idea. All this is a dude with Photoshop trying to like, there's just obviously not real news happening in Greece, so they create bullshit like this. Actually, there is real news in Greece, they're just not reporting on it, and they're putting other bullshit like this on top. So obviously they think it's going to cost $8.1 billion and finish in 2035. It's an undersea cable, man. It's not that difficult, and it doesn't take 10 years. So, preliminary 10-year development plan mapped by some bullshit organization, feasibility study. It would basically go from Thessaloniki or near Thessaloniki, Olympus, which it's not a real place. Like, why would you have electricity start there? Go across into Igoumenitsa and then go north through the Adriatic and go to Germany. Now, the theory behind this is that, again, Greece had been pretty decent at renewables relative to other nearby countries. Can send that to Germany, sell it to Germany. When I mean Greece, I mean the energy, you know, heavyweights of the industry, not the Greek taxpayer. Next topic. So, actually, I had someone, and feel free to do this too, reach out and say, George, talk about this little thing. He sent me a message, Philo, you should do a video on the Greek Orthodox communities in Syria and Lebanon. What do you think of them being extended Greek citizenship? Great question. I think they should be extended Greek citizenship. But even further than that, I think there should be a bigger play here, right? I think there's a three-step play. One, all Greek diaspora and their descendants who left in the last 100 years should be extended Greek citizenship and passport through an online form with a small customer, with a decent customer service team to expedite it. For example, I was born in Australia. My mum was born in Australia, but her dad was born in Greece, my papu. It should be a one-week process for me to get a passport, just from that avenue. Obviously, my dad was born in Greece. Well, that's not obvious. So it was very easy for me to get it. But like, if my great-great-grandfather was Greek or grandmother was Greek, it should still be fucking easy. As long as the paperwork's there, you submit it online, you do an interview, maybe you do a citizenship test, like in the States, the anthem, the quiz, otinani, bro, like small stuff, then you should get the Greek citizenship. It shouldn't be this difficult thing for Westerners, right, who obviously have their own money to support themselves in the country, they're not going to be a hindrance or a drag on the economy if they come here, they should be extended citizenship as fast as possible. What's the hang up? Like, they're Greek, they're assimilated, they're gonna have weird accents when they speak Greek, like I do. But mate, we have a declining population, so having a robust method of bringing Greeks back, even just who have just immigrated over the last 100 years, should be, really, really good. So the first method of rehabilitating the Greek demographic, I think, should be bringing back the diaspora from who've left Greece in the last 100 years. Australia, America, UK, Canada, South Africa, France, Germany, Austria. We're talking about 10 million Greeks. If a small percentage of those want to come back, it should be a very robust online method. And really, it's not that difficult to create that sort of a funnel. I have had clients who have had customers in the millions per month. So in terms of creating a funnel where people need to submit information and be vetted by a customer service team, I've literally helped clients build that. So like me, someone who isn't a government official could do something like this. And the Greek government still hasn't, right? It's an online form. Documentation needs to be submitted. There needs to be a customer service review and maybe a test. Simple as that. I'm getting fired up. The second tier of my demographic rehabilitation project will be, first one, like I said, less than 100 years. The next one would be less than 500 years. So we're talking about the Greeks of Syria, the Greeks of Lebanon, the Greeks of the Levant, Greeks in Jordan, Greeks anywhere outside of Greece, in Cyprus. Obviously, these Greeks who identify as Greeks, speak Greek, or even, this is my third one, who are just Orthodox, should be extended Greek citizenship. Again, we're in rehabilitation mode, right? The Greeks who live in Syria and Lebanon are Romai, they're East Orthodox, or they're Greek, they're Greco, they have many, or Greek Catholic, they have many different ways to identify themselves. But at the end of the day, they are the remnants of the East Roman Empire. Now, obviously, they are in a very big minority, a very small minority, a very severe minority where they are. And I think, again, online application, citizenship test and interview online within a month. Simple as that. Now, the last one is, I think, the Greek church, who has considered itself the center of orthodoxy, not just that, but the center for Christianity since day one, should be taking part in this program, i.e. helping fund it. They have the most land in Greece. They should be giving parts of this land or selling or renting or whatever it might be to these refugees. Mind you, well, not refugees, immigrants. Orthodox immigrants. Now, the Greek Orthodox Church, or the Church of Constantinople, or whatever you want to call it, was the center of orthodoxy, the center of Christianity, during the Roman Empire, which was the church. And then it split during the Great Schism of 1054. Fuck, I'm good. 1054. And then, of course, Christianity split between Catholic and Orthodox. And then Orthodox split between Orthodox, Greek Orthodox Church, the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, the Ukrainian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Church, even the Cypriot Orthodox Church. But, of course, churches compete for the ultimate right to be the head of said religion. And I think Greek Orthodox Church should be. And so it should take charge of Orthodox communities around the world, especially when they are a minority in a non-Orthodox country. I think this is an opportunity to do that, and we need to rehabilitate our demographic. And my views on this, which is generally pro-immigration, if you can believe it, stems from the fact that I'm in Athens. I am looking out my balcony right now, and I look part through and I see Nea Smyrni, Neos Kosmos, and Kalithea.
These are the biggest suburbs by population density in Europe. You literally look that list up. It's crazy. Nesmirni, yeah, guess by the name, New Smyrna, right? The city of Smyrna burnt down by the Turks. All those refugees came here. There's like 60,000 people who came from Nesmirni, right? This is a refugee, Athens is a refugee city, right? And if you look at the map of Greece and where the independence war started, in Laconia, in Mani, right? Which is where my family's from. That's why we look a bit darker. And Greeks who came as refugees or immigrants from the Pontus are a bit lighter. So the reality is Greece built its population and economy and identity now on being Greek, but whether you consider these people immigrants or refugees or anything, this country was built on immigration, which is a weird concept, right? Because we are mono genetic, if you want to call it that, mono-ethnic country in theory. But yeah, like people came from Pontus, Greeks came from Pontus, came from Georgia, came from North Epirus. Like this city, just looking at my window, I can see suburbs of hundreds of thousands of people who are Greek or identify as Greek, who've come from all over the Mediterranean and even further. My doctor's Greek Kazakhstani. He was in Georgia, Stalin moved him to Kazakhstan, and he's here now, Galicia. So yeah, that's what I think the policy should be. Okay, that was a good tangent. Okay, I saw this amazing video by one of my favorite Instagrammers. I think his name is Distant Elephant. Let me go to my saved. So he talked about how Boston. So Boston had this massive overpass highway going through the center of the city, and at a massive cost, that it, you know, fair enough to say, of $24 billion today in today's money, they put it underground. They made it, you know, into a tunnel basically, and they put a park over the top. Now, if we go to my screen, and we go to Google Maps. So this is in my plans for when I am mayor of Athens. I'll be Greek prime minister. I'll be Greek EU parliament. I'll be the mayor of Athens. Whatever you want, man. I'm here. Just vote me in. So I'm going to look at a map of Athens and I'll give you my theory. All right. So let's say I am the mayor of Athens. What would I do? Let's say we're 10 years in the future, or maybe even 5, and we don't have a debt crisis crippling us, and we can put a little bit of money into, you know, making our daily lives easier. So here is the map of Athens. These lines here that you see are rail, underground metro, and tram. Black is the tram, red is the rail, green is rail, blue is rail. Metro. So here is old Athens, right? And the most popular suburbs that I just talked about, Galithea, Neos Smyrni, Neos Kosmos, these are the most populated suburbs, most densely populated suburbs in Europe. So if we look here, and this is a list of the most densely populated cities by population density. Now here we have, you know, a bunch of Asian and South American cities. We have France is the first European one, Levallois-Perret. Another Montrouge, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in France. So 5 in France, and the next one is Neapoli, Thessaloniki. And the next one is Galithea and Neos Smyrni. The population of Galithea is 100,000 and Neos Smyrni is 73,000, right? Which is mental. So if we go back to the map, just this area of Galithea and this area of Neos Smyrni. So really this entire area here is together the fifth or sixth most densely populated area in Europe. And Europe, and Greece is a city, a country of 10 million people, right? And this area here in the heart of Athens is the most densely populated part, one of the most densely populated areas in Europe. It's insane. And the crazy thing is, look at the transit lines. The one that goes through Nasmidni goes here to the water, and nothing goes through Galithia, right? Directly through the middle, but only buses do. And they're, if you know Greek buses, they're terrible. Now, here's my take. The center of Athens is Syntagma. And there's a tram that starts here, right? I think Athens should take a page out of the books of Barcelona, because Barcelona is a Mediterranean city that was very industrial, that blew up in population over the last 200-300 years and had its own pains, but did a good job of making it easy for humans to live in. Can't say the same for Athens. I think a Champs-Élysées, like in Paris, should be started here at Syntagma. And essentially, where Sigrul starts, so here, the like kind of unofficial start of Sigrul, this massive Leoforo Sigrul, massive motorway, should go underground here. And these massive intersections should be underground. Because if you're in the, what is it, Nasmidni, one of the most populated suburbs of Europe, you're trying to go to the other most populated suburbs of Europe, there shouldn't be this massive scar of a highway in the middle. Because let me tell you, most people do not cross Leoforo Andrea Sigrul on foot, because the underpasses are filled with homeless people, crackheads, and other nefarious activities, right? And this whole street has brothels and strip clubs, mind you. And you can't cross it over the top because it's very dangerous. So all I think Leoforo Sigrul should go underground here. And if anything, maybe start it even further up here. The Leoforo Sigrul should be buried underground as a tunnel. And the over the top should be one lane one way, one lane the other way, just to exit the tunnel and to go into the surrounding suburbs. Bike lanes and a bus lane or tram line, right? And just all park all the way down. And this should go all the way down to the Stavros Niarchos Center. And this massive intersection, which is impossible to cross north, south, east, west at all, right? Should be underground again. This Taekwondo Center has been abandoned for 21 years, right? Knock it down. All this area here is car park, concrete car park. It's disgusting. Here are just abandoned and sinking boats. This whole area is disgusting, right? And this whole area here, this is the frontage of the definitive Mediterranean city on the water, the sea city of Athens. The frontage of it here is garbage. It is cut off by this massive, not overpass, highway, motorway, which you cannot cross north to south. If you live here, you cannot cross this motorway because then there's a fucking railway and then there's mountains of dirt and then another motorway, and then all these abandoned buildings, and then all this abandoned bullshit from 2004. All of this is inaccessible. And my favorite, there's this mountain, huge mountain of dirt here. All of this is inaccessible north to south, let alone east to west. And they've even cut off this one overpass here, has been cut off. They're redeveloping it somehow. All of this should be underground. This should be an amazing boulevard that goes from north to south, connecting the center of Athens to the sea. And then all of this too, all this highway, all this overpass should be again underground. And again, a massive park should be here and redeveloped, right? So that Athens is actually connected to the sea. Because right now, the main frontage of Athens is disconnected to the sea. And then, of course, this should be part of the Athens Riviera. Here's the Elenikon area, where they're putting $8 billion into redeveloping it. This red line, train line, metro line, should be extended all the way down to Vouliagmeni, and this tram line all the way down to Vouliagmeni, and really all the way down to even further, so the city expands south through this Athens Riviera. But that's what I'm saying. That's my little theory there. So let's go to the next topic. So there was this art exhibition where they used Greek Orthodox icons of Mary and Jesus and St. George and they put demonic faces on top of it. Here's the thing. And then, okay, and then a guy went in, saw the art pieces and ripped them off the wall. Now look, is that the best way to deal with art you don't like? No. Should the Stavros Niarchos Center, I think is where it was, let me do some research. Research, wow. Awesome museum. The exhibition includes works that caricature religious icons. Just say they're demonic. Police detain Nikolaos, which holds 10. Oh, yeah. And then they released him. Eight engravings. Papadopoulos previously said in Parliament that one of the Greek paintings was offensive to Orthodox community, the predominant religion in Greece, asserting that it was insulted Virgin Mary and Christ. Now, here's the thing. Here's my opinion that no one asked for. Why is it okay to... Is it okay to make fun of? Because that's what that was, let's be honest. I'm an artist. I'm a comedian. I know the balance you need to strike between being offensive and doing something that's artistic, whether it be funny or a comment on something, right? Now, if I come straight out and I'm doing crowd work and I can say, you're a fat piece of shit, there's no laughs because that's just mean. And there's not really a comment on anything. It's not, well, it's just mean-hearted. And that's kind of what this looks like, to be honest. And I'm all for free speech. That's what, you know, all my content is. I'm saying exactly what I want, right? But there's a balance between free speech and not accepted by society, but there are double standards, you know? Like, let's call the world what it is. This is a defacing of religious icons, right? Now, let's look at another example of the defacing of religious icons. Charles Hebdo was a cartoonist company in France 10 years ago. And this... cartoonist company made fun of Prophet Muhammad, right? And then some Muslims from, I believe, Algeria went and shot up the whole office and killed like way too many people. Well, any amount of people is too many. And of course, the French Islamists, Muslims were like, what do you expect? Like most Muslims were like, yeah, that's bad. But like, what do you expect? Don't make fun of the Prophet Muhammad. And so when Greeks are like, what do you expect? Don't make fun of our religious icons. There's a double standard. But then again, the whole French population was like, we're here for free speech. If you don't like it, you can go back home. So there's this weird double standard, I think. You know, is it okay to have free speech? Yes, obviously, we must have free speech. But also, like, as an artist, you need to understand that there's a way, it's not about what you do, it's about how you do it. And if it's sheer malice, yeah, like more than anything, be a better artist. That's always been my opinion. Like if I see a comedian that's just roasting people in the crowd, like they're pissed off, they're not doing well, and they're making fun of people in the crowd just like that. It's like, dog, don't be pissed off because you're not good. Just get better. When it comes to art, like paintings, if it's purely offensive for the sake of trying to be offensive and trying to get something out of its audience, then it's not good art. Like, that's my take. This isn't good art. It's just trying to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. And sure, I'm biased. I'm a Greek Orthodox. But at the same time, like, I make fun of Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, and I make fun of Muslims, and I make fun of Jews in my comedy. But people laugh. Because I'm not saying it out of malice. It's actually a comment. It's a there's some, you know, play to it. There's an angle to it. It doesn't come out of malice. This looks like it just came out of malice. So it's like, is it really a question of free speech, or is it a question of, is this really art, and what are the intentions of the artist, right? That's my two cents, right? Anyway, that's all I have to talk about this week, and hopefully I am better health-wise next week.
So, a deal.